Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians. We go to chapter 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses. As was mentioned earlier, the Lord willing, since I'm scheduled also to come back in October, I thought I would try to do something that could be edifying, a series of just three sermons on Ephesians 3 through 14. This morning, our focus will be on verses 3 through 6. And again, the Lord willing, we'll come back to the other verses. But for this morning, let's read the first 14 verses. And we find that this letter is one of the letters Paul wrote while imprisoned. And yet, what he has to say at the outset bursts with praise, with song of joy, with doxology. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he's blessed us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good purpose, which he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Thus our reading from God's word. May he bless it to us. Shall we ask his blessing at this time? Lord, your word is yours. Be pleased to use your word, to use your servant, to open our minds, to quiet our hearts, that we can receive instruction even now and hear what you would tell your people for our benefit, for our growing up in Christ, for your glory. Grant your spirit for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but when you read that set of verses, clause heaped on clause, heaped on clause, your head starts to spin. You want to get out a piece of paper. Okay, this line, and that goes off. It's like a branch of a tree, and this fits with that, and whew, wow. Well, one thing's very clear for what the Apostle Paul does here is he's bursting with song, he's bursting with praise, he's singing a kind of doxology of blessings, praises to God, from whom all blessings flow, except the blessings he's talking about here are what I'm calling the blessings that count. Now, I'm not trying to minimize all kinds of blessings, physical blessings, health blessings, you know, family blessings, a new grandchild blessing, you found your beloved blessing. That's a good use of beloved, by the way. You get a new job blessing, you build a new house, all kinds of things we call blessings. And you're saying those don't count? Not like these. Because moth can eat and destroy. Rust can ruin and rot. Death can take. Disease can destroy and erase. A government can make policies that eat up the savings. But these blessings, no matter what happens with respect to those blessings, are still there. They can't be yanked from you. They can't be eaten away. They can't be taken. These are the blessings that count, no matter what happens in life. Maybe being in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe not being very certain about your future, and yet here the apostle, though imprisoned, is singing praises out of the bottom of his heart to all celebration and joy. It's contagious. He wants us to know it, to feel it, to experience it, to understand it. And that's why he's just brimming over, and it's one clause linked to another and another. And praise God, from whom all blessings flow. There's three big ones here. Being chosen by God. Being such, being redeemed by Christ. Redemption. And with that, you have a future. You're sealed as heirs with him, in him, for eternal glory. And these are the blessings then. I lost my health, but I have this. There's been bereavement in my family that crushes my life, but I have this. I'm lonely and hurting, but I have this. I've been betrayed, and someone's been unfaithful to me, but I have this. My business that I've worked all my life for, it's all turned sideways, but I have this. My marriage needs help. In fact, it's in crisis, but I have this. Blessings that count. Now, first, we're chosen by God. Really important to grasp how he takes that. What we're going to do when we look at this is look at the foundation of it all, which I'm going to focus upon God's love. There's more than that, but that's a good focus point, his holy love for us. And then the consequence, the purpose, the result of being chosen by God is we're not just chosen to twiddle our thumbs, but chosen to be holy and blameless, so a holy life, and adopted, also chosen, to be adopted as family, as children, so a holy life, a holy family. Now, the foundation is in God himself, in his will, in his love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you could say, what's every spiritual blessing? Keep reading. Those. Every spiritual blessing. What are spiritual blessings? These. Because it's nothing to do with the car you drive, or the boat you vacation with, or the vacation you remember, or, you know, your little hobbies. I have mine too. But none of those matter much without this. Now, the every spiritual blessing, notice he's going to come at this over and over again. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ, in him. Over and over. There are no blessings of God apart from the one, the beloved, through whom we're blessed. He's the focal point and everything, like spokes on a hub of a wheel. It all comes back to him. Even as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So Paul's going to sing of praise to God. That word is where we get, in verse 3 there, that praise, that blessedness to God is where we get our word eulogy. And I know that there's different sort of funeral practices and the like, but some places they like to eulogize people. No one liked him in life, but now that he's dead, oh, what a guy. Just wonderful. Super. Wow. In the Dutch Reformed tradition, they've always been a little, that eulogizing stuff. We knew he's a sinner. It's only by grace that he's saved. Careful, careful, careful how you talk about him. Let's eulogize God. Let's eulogize Jesus. Careful. Well, I have some appreciation for that. But you get the sense, with God, yes, let's eulogize. Let's praise. Let's celebrate. And look what he does. There's a Christ Jesus. There's every spiritual blessing kept in the heavenly places, originating in heavenly places, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, which is Bible talk for all eternity. Before you get to the back of the world and the world upon which it's founded is a will of God, a way of God, a plan of God, a love of God, and chosen in Christ from eternity. Now, what's wonderful about that, and Paul sitting in prison knows this, is election, being chosen, is the best word you can speak. One famed 20th century theologian said, of all the words about salvation and grace, none's better than election. Because here you have God taking the initiative. God from eternity, willing a will that he always wills about you. Chosen, selected, wanted. And so God has chosen a life with you. You a life with him. In Christ Jesus. This is then a big fat grace word. God coming to the rescue word. God taking the initiative word. Election is marvelous to think about, contemplate. Chosen in him, in love, predestined in him for adoption, this kind of thing. Now, this passage is helpful. Because election is a blessing word, and it's from which other blessings derive. If there's no election, then there's no Christ dying for his elect. No election, no chosen to be saved, there's no outcome of salvation. No floor plan for the church. No church gets built. Someone was going out that way and ran into a big problem and that's not stable. No. A plan, a purpose, a goal, and then God bringing his will to bear in election. Now, the Bible talks about election in different ways, and I don't want to get bogged down here. There is a corporate way of talking about it and being chosen or elected for a very specific task, like the apostle himself, chosen to be an apostle. But here, he's talking about being saved, elect to be saved. And as soon as you say elect for something, to be saved, then election's hooked up to a problem. And we have a sin problem. Think of a pack of wolves. Now, what is it about wolves? Well, they're wolves. They're wild. They run in a pack. They hunt in a pack. They eat and sleep and live together as a pack. And what does a wolf do? Well, it hunts the elk to chase the elk, to eat the elk, devour the elk. It doesn't bed down with the bunny. A wolf lives with wolves. Well, think of human beings. We, in our own way, are a kind of wolf pack, too, except we're a pack of sinners. We run with sinners. We think like sinners. We act like sinners. Why? Because, well, that's what we are, sinners. We're rebels against God. We are God haters, God hiders, hiders from God. We run with the pack of fallen humanity. And we live in sin and think sin and imagine sin and make excuses for sin and deny sin and hide from sin and call sin good and good sin. were twisted and broken and messed up. We love it. We lie to ourselves. We lie to God. We're selfish and stingy. We bully the weak. Boys like to shove and push and use their fists. Girls like to name shame and deny and exclude and ruin reputations. They're bullies too. We're sinners. We run with the pack of a sinful humanity. We have a sin problem, you see. And the Bible is very clear that spiritually, we read that earlier, dead in trespasses and sin, once walked this way, but God, children of wrath, but God, being rich in mercy with his great love in which he loved us. God comes to the rescue. And coming to the rescue is grounded in back of that election. God's. Now the wolf doesn't run with the elk. It hunts to kill the elk. It doesn't bed down with the caribou. It would devour to kill the caribou. Sinners, sinful men, don't run with God. Join hands in celebration. They hide from God. They deny God. They need God to do something to them, for them, on behalf of them. And that's what election's about. Remember how Jesus put it? In John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. It's an image of like pulling a bucket of water out of a well, and it takes effort. The bucket's not helping. The bucket needs to be pulled and drawn forth from the well. That's us. It's not like, here we are, we're all on board for God. No, we need God pulling us out of our sin, out of our misery, taking all the initiative and selecting, choosing us to do this great work. So if you don't like that metaphor, think of a salvage yard. I like the salvage yard one. Human beings are junkers, okay? We're all junkers. Until we have been renovated. And God comes with his big selecting magnet and uses that pulsating electromagnet to pull us out of the heap, the junkyard of humanity, in order to do this remake, this renovation, this renewal in us. Selected, you see. Chosen, picked. Now, there's a blessing that you didn't contribute to. You weren't good enough. You didn't try hard enough. You weren't smart enough, pretty enough, talented enough, cool enough, funny enough. Nothing about you contributed to being chosen. You say, why me, Lord? Wow, me, Lord? Even me, Lord? Yes, you, chosen. Blessing that counts. So he chooses us to save us, to change us, the sinners we are, to renovate us, to transform us. And it's nothing about us. Remember, even when he chose Israel as a nation, were you the coolest, the best, the neatest, the mostest nation? No, you weren't. In fact, you were little, puny, nothing. And I started with you from scratch, from nothing. Nothing about you made you selectable. But I selected you. Now, a knowledge of that congregation helps us have a posture toward the world, not of smugness, but of hope. Not of better than you, but just like you in a received grace and mercy. And what's done for me, God can well do for others. In fact, he sent us into the world for that very purpose. all from eternity. Sitting in jail, bursting with praise, God chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of people have struggled with the doctrine of election through the years. Maybe you went through your own little journey or are going through a journey of sorting this out and figuring it out and accepting it. Well, it's right there in the pages of the Bible. But perhaps you say, but surely we're not just stocks and blocks and robots and puppets and we have a choice. Yeah, you make choices. You make choices because God's made a choice. When he elects and selects and works his grace, he does work inside of us. He does do things in us that we need. The canons of Dort, pick on the canons. Sorry, I won't use the Westminster this time. But the canons in Heads 3-4, a great reformed document, deals with this kind of problem. And it makes really clear about something. It's not like you are just a robot or a stone. No, when God gets to work on you, the Holy Spirit penetrates into your life and your heart, your inmost being. He takes a closed heart, opens it. He takes a hard heart, softens it. Takes an uncircumcised heart, circumcises it. Takes a will that is all oriented and wanting the wrong thing, and he reorients it. He puts new qualities in it. So you have a dead will toward God, makes it alive. You have an evil will. He starts to make it good, so it wants good things. An unwilling will, he makes willing. A stubborn will, he makes compliant. God activates you, if you will. He strengthens your will so that a bad tree he can make into a good tree that produces good fruit. That's what he's doing in us. See, election is never just to an end. It's also the means to get you there. Which is a way of saying grace, more grace, piles of grace, wonderful grace. Praise God for his grace. I need all I can get. Who wants to sit here this morning and say, yeah, you know, God, with all that abounding and loving kindness and great, you know, I could do with less. I don't need as much. Really? Seriously? A little less? How much less? To get you to glory. How much less Jesus do you need? Less Holy Spirit. Less love of God to bring you all the way home. We need God with all his abounding grace to get us there, don't we? The God rich in mercy, the God in his great love with which he loved us, the God, because we're in love, predestined. And grammatically, you can make the in love go to the other clause, but it makes way more sense here, especially in light of Ephesians, the love with which he loved us. Or you could go to Ephesians 3, these verses, that being rooted and grounded in love, we may have strength to comprehend all the saints, with all the saints, the width, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Or chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. Predestined in love. Love all over the place. So, election, it's a cold doctrine. It's a love doctrine. The love story. That's why Paul is bursting with praise. Now, this election then has goals, results, a purpose. And the first he mentions here is holy life, to be blameless, holy and blameless before him. He chose us before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and blameless. God never selects to save and to redeem and to bring home to glory, to leave you where you are. No parent wants to see their children who are developing a bad habit, maybe biting or spitting or just back sassing or anything. Well, you know, you're forgiven, so good. You're good. You don't look both ways before you try to cross the street. Whatever. You're good. No. I once rode my bike down a hill where I lived and went straight across the cross street up into a driveway because we lived in kind of a court. And an old man slammed on his brakes, turned white. I did too. And when I got back, my mother witnessed the whole thing. I was taught very well not to ever do that again. She's not going to let me stay stupid. She wants to see me mature and grow. God doesn't choose us so that we can be bigger sinners. He chooses us that we can be like Him, like Christ, holy. A positive way of saying it, blameless, a negative way of saying it. There's no taint, there's no scuffs, there's no wrinkles and flaws. Christ will have us flawless, His beloved bride. Now, this shows the great love of God too, because this is what election was never designed to do, ever. We're elect. We're it. You're not. Nose in the air time. Let's be conceited Christians. We're the elect. Oh, you non-electing. How do you know who's non-elect, first of all? You know, we once were children of wrath. Children of wrath start that way, but chosen from eternity to become children of God. So election is never to make us smug, but humble, to make us blossoming and filled up, brimming over with praise, not smugness. So important we get that. The great love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. If I have this, I have knowledge, I can do miracles, I have faith that moves mountains. Zero love, you're a zero. He would elect us in love to be people who live a life of love. Holy, blameless. That's remarkable that we're loved in a way that would change us. And we all know we need sanctification. We go back to blessings that count, and there's all kinds of things in life that count. You get old, maybe you become a shut-in. You need care, you're lonely, you need friendship, you need visits. You're having, in some respects, the hardest time of your life. And the church reaches out in love. These blessings really matter. Or you're raising a child. Maybe you have a handicapped child that requires a lot of attention. You need a lot of attention and help and support. I'm not denigrating from your marriage, child rearing, losing people you love. I'm not minimizing the importance of those blessings. What I'm trying to help you see is with this blessing, chosen, selected, bought and paid for, set free, an eternity is your heritage. Sees us through all the other trials. And we're going to have them. You know, eternity ends with Jesus wiping every tear from our eyes. Because we have tears in our eyes. Chosen in Christ, in love, to be adopted as children. So, to make holy life unto also a participant in a holy family. That's the third or the second of these two results. In Him, in Christ Jesus, we we've been predestined for adoption, sons, daughters through Christ. Now, adopted children, we might have adopted children here, wanted children, longed for children, desiring a child. God comes, and that which was running away from him in rebellion, his love reaches out in front, outpaces their running away, stands in the way. It's like Paul on his road to Damascus to silence the church. And God takes him, sets him on his head. You're going to stop the word. You're going to preach the word to all nations. You're going to be the guy. I tell you what. And now the one who had been kicking against the pricks is made blind so that he finally sees and can preach to a world that's blind and see the great knowledge of Christ. So, adopted. We have the spiritual fruits, holy and blameless, but then this family of God. Dear son, dear daughter, my very own. And it's the redemption in Christ that helps us see all of that. But enough to see here, the end goal is family of God. A family of God. A universal family. Every tribe, tongue, people, nation of God. A family that has individual souls. Dear son, dear daughter. You know how many people in the world live who aren't dear to anybody? They're not dear in their family. They're not dear to an alcoholic mother or a strung out father or just a harsh man, or he's just never available, not there. There's all kinds of broken people who need to hear this good news of the gospel. Maybe they have everything money can buy, but they have exactly nothing money can't buy, only the blood of Jesus. And this is why it's so important for us to follow with Paul, why there's something wonderful here, great here, celebratory here. Open our voices, our mouths, because in him we have every blessing. It's all to the praise of his glorious grace, grace that's glorious. It's grace, though. It's all about grace, giving us what we don't deserve, with which he's blessed us in the beloved, in Christ. So all these things we've been talking about, chosen and unto being holy and blameless and made a family of God in him, in the beloved, the one loved of God, most loved, only begotten, loved as fully as the only begotten to make us his family. Now, I dare say, if sometimes we don't think much of our sins and really meditate upon them, you can guarantee then we don't think much of our Savior and meditate upon that. It's election, if you meditate upon it, is a why me, wow, me, even me, wow, praise God, even me. And that's the mystery of grace. That's the mystery of love. Lord, why do you love me? Well, according to a sovereign good pleasure. Yeah, a sovereign good pleasure, though, is a loving good pleasure. It's not a topsy-turvy, nothing, whimsical, cold good pleasure. It's a holy, righteous, loving, the mystery of God's loving good pleasure. He's good. He's loving. He's faithful. He gives us blessings that will see us through inflation or war or economic chaos. I don't know. It's out there. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's everything. A future that's precarious, a blessing that counts. What's out there doesn't matter. What tragedies can afflict my own life, my own health, my own family? I don't know. Maybe no tragedies. Maybe heartbreaking blessings that count. All blessings rooted in the one whose body was broken, whose blood was shed, to claim us as his very own, to make us God's people. Well, that's something to celebrate. That's something to praise God for. These are blessings, man. You know, little kids, that doesn't count. This counts. Well, these are blessings that count. And we're going to come to this table of fellowship and know how much they do. Amen. So we pray. Lord, bless your word to us. We need this good message from your apostle. We need to contemplate being chosen in Christ as the blessing it is. Grant us this, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.